Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Uncensored. While online gambling is not officially classified as a public health epidemic, many addiction counselors and educators describe its spread among South African teenagers as rapid, quiet, and deeply concerning. Data from the Financial Sector Conduct Authority shows that South Africa's gambling spend has grown from 8 billion rand in 1995 to more than 815 billion rand in 2023, a 10,000% increase. A recent News 24 investigation this year found that teenagers as young as 14 were placing sports bets on their smartphones, often during school hours, using prepaid vouchers or shared e-wallets to bypass age checks. Teachers interviewed in that series described gambling as rife in some South African schools. In Parliament's recent debate on South Africa's gambling crisis, lawmakers called the explosion of online betting a national social crisis. They warned that even university students are now diverting the government study allowances, bursaries meant to buy food and textbooks, into online bets and promises quick returns but often end in debt. On this episode of Uncensored, we look at what's driving this rise, how easily young people are accessing betting platforms, and what it's done to their lives. We'll hear from Rex Hunt, addiction recovery specialist and coach at ADCA, Against Drugs and Child Abuse, who works with families and young people affected by gambling harm. And later, a 19-year-old who began gambling while still at school shares how easily it happens and what parents often miss. I've asked Rex from ADCA, our local addiction recovery centre, what he's seeing on the ground, and this is what he had to say.
Online gambling is no longer an adult thing. It's also a teenage problem we're having now. Teenagers that are wanting some instant form of stimulation, online stimulation, something they can do in secrecy, something they can do when they seem to be isolating away from the normal society, is now to be able to gamble online, to force themselves to win, to want to win, to want to have this dopamine rush, makes them feel good about doing it behind closed doors. The problem is when they win, they get the dopamine, they get the excitement, they get the stimulation, and they want it more, and they want it more. Then they don't win, and they realize that they're losing out on what their friends are having and what their friends are getting, so they're going to try harder to win. And then it comes into a bigger problem of stealing things to sell or to pawn things to get the money to be able to gamble. They don't have to go out to a dealer to buy anything. They don't have to go to the bottle store. It can be done from their smartphone, which actually makes us dumb, not smart. The behavioral science to look out for this was children closing their bedroom doors, isolating a lot, fidgety, not letting anyone see their phone, use their phone, and then certain items of theirs going missing as they're selling it to get the money. The other thing, have a look at the child. How hungry is the child? Because its diet is changing. Are they still looking after their bodies? Are they washing their hair? Are they washing their faces properly? Are they sleeping enough? Have a look at their sleep patterns. Gambling online goes along with excess social media and also with gaming online. It all falls into the same category. Those are the signs that parents need to look out for. Parents need to stop the free use of internet for your children online. It is a big problem. You need to monitor it and put boundaries into place. But this is not all bad. There is help. Please, my name and number is here. Use it, call me, phone me, WhatsApp me, whatever it is. If you need help, I'm here to help you.
Yeah, well, Rick says gambling's no longer by casinos. It's happening quietly at home, schools, and on cell phones. And many parents don't realize how invisible it can be. So what is exactly online gambling? Now, in South Africa, it's illegal to run or play unlicensed casino-style games, but sports betting apps are legal for adults. The problem is that the line between the two has blurred. The National Gambling Board says online betting is now the fastest-growing part of South Africa's gambling market, with millions of active users, many under 25. And it's all happening on the same devices young people use for schoolwork and social media. To understand how easily this is happening, I am going to speak to Enzo. 19-year-old who first tried gambling online while still at school. For his privacy, we won't use his full name, and we've kept his age as well, off record. He's here to help us. I know I said 19, but I think you're a little bit older than that. For his privacy, we're going to carry on with that. But he's here to help us understand how normalized it's become for teens, how easily slips under the radar of parents and teachers. Enzo, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Penny.
I just want to just start with that. How old were you when you first placed your bet?
I was about 16. And I think online gambling at school specifically is more of a popularity issue, because it's a popular thing to do.
Okay.
If you go and tell your friends, hey, I won 1,500 rand on the sports bet, or I won 1,000 rand playing blackjack, or I have 1,500 rand because I bought this slot feature, it's cool. It's something that you can brag about to your friends.
Yeah. Tell me, just to interrupt it, just tell me how you actually do it. Just talk us through how it happens.
As an underage person, if you wish to create an account for any online gambling site, be it Betway, Player Bets, Hollywood Bets, all we did, I'm exposing a little bit of the trade secret here, we would get an ID from one of our parents or older siblings that was a legal age, over 18, and all you need is the ID number. You can put your own name in, your own cell phone number, your own email address. That only piece of information that they need is that ID number to be the correct ID number, and then they'll match that, I think, with the government system.
I'm so sure technically, if you're 13 or 14, you can do the same thing without anyone knowing.
Yes, you can. I suppose depositing the money into the account, you can do that with cash. You can do that through Apple Pay. Cash, you just need to go to any shop, spa, Checkers, bottle stores, garages. You can buy a Betway gift voucher, and then you just punch the code into your app, and the money gets loaded on instantaneously. Withdrawing, you can get instant cash withdrawals through e-wallets, so you can hide it.
Yeah. So tell me, where does that money come from? Where do you actually use the money to do this betting? When you were in your teens, where were you getting the money from?
It was pocket money and allowance.
Okay.
So money that my dad would give me for pocket money. Hey, Dad, I need to, and I did lie. We were all lying to our parents. Hey, Dad, I need to pay for this at school, or there's a trip, or there's something, and I need 150 rand.
It's a little rascals, huh?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. We did that.
And did the parents ever suspect that the money was being channeled elsewhere?
Never once.
Not.
We had, as a group of maybe five of us in school, one of our friends had taken an ID number from, I think it was his mom or his older brother, and we had a shared account. Everyone had maybe five or six of us had this Betway account logged in on our phones. We had a WhatsApp group, so we'd communicate and see who's using the account when. And when we'd win big, it would be like, hey, I won 1,000 rand, everyone take out 250. And it was easy. School hours, gambling on the school Wi-Fi even. It's
prevalent. And it was a lot of kids doing it.
A lot. And even now, like I see, knowing people still in our old high school, it's still happening.
Yeah. And the teachers weren't aware that the children are actually gambling during school hours or during break.
So again, it's very easy to hide.
And did you ever do it during class hours?
Yeah.
During your classroom?
Yeah.
Dave's chuckling.
I think the most money I've ever won was during a class.
Yeah. Tell me about those winnings. What was the biggest payout your group actually?
So off a 120 rand bet.
Yeah.
We won 4,500 rand.
Okay, so did you all pool it into your...
I think one of us came up with 120 and we split the money.
Okay.
We split the 4,500.
Were your losses just as big sometimes?
We never put in, we would never go and gamble 1,000 rand. It was always we've got 100 and we need 1,000. So let's try and turn this into that. And if we didn't, we were super bummed. If we did, we were all super happy. But it was never during class, during the week, it was okay, we're bored, let's do something.
Yeah.
But I suppose we were never depositing these big amounts. We were taking out big amounts. which can be just as detrimental and dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you're taking out these big amounts, and 90% of the time, that big amount is going back into the Betway account.
Okay, and just in terms of the risks, when you're making all this money, do you think that it actually changes the perception of money for...
100%
yeah.
It does. It takes the value away from money.
Yeah.
And the young, like especially young people, high school age, young boys especially, the money comes so easily and it goes so easily. They don't see the value in it, and they don't see the importance of actually just saving and not throwing your money needlessly away.
And does it also become a boredom thing as well?
100%. I'm bored, I enjoy gambling, I want to do something, I love the way it makes me feel, even if I lose. You've got this idea in your head that I'm not gambling to make the money, I'm just gambling for fun, and that somehow makes it good.
Yeah.
Like I heard one person describe it as, if I go to a Sharker for the day, I pay, 150 Rand to get in, and I can have fun. If I pick up my phone and I want to gamble, I pay 150 Rand, and for an hour and a half, I can have fun.
Yeah.
So that's the mentality of a lot of these young guys.
Yeah. And when you look at people your age now, do you think they understand the risks, or does it still feel like just another game?
I think more so the slightly older, early 20s sort of generation, they do understand the risks. But the younger guys don't. They don't see how detrimental it can be and how big of a problem it actually is becoming.
And what would you say would be the youngest, when you were at school, how young were the kids, you know, getting into gambling? And were they learning the little tips and tricks from you, the older teens, you know?
I suppose when I was in school, it wasn't so popular with now on social media, all these influencers doing gambling like challenges. They'll say, there's a gambling challenge that I'm gambling every day until I can make enough money to go to Las Vegas. And they post it online, and these young people are seeing it. That wasn't so popular when I was in school.
Yeah.
But now it's very popular. Everyone is doing it. There are countless Instagram accounts where Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is, where guys are gambling on video, and massive amounts as well, huge amounts of money. And winning, but they are all like employed by these companies and websites to do it. So there's none of them are gambling their own money.
Yeah,
they're all gambling.
And the kids that are seeing it,
and they're seeing it like,
well, they don't realize.
They don't realize.
They're actually being
paid to get rich, but it's not.
And do you think now parents and teachers are getting onto the idea that this is happening?
I think so. I know that at a lot of, specifically my experience, boys' high schools, certain teachers and coaches will almost not see it as a problem. I know that we had some coaches that were like, we'd be sitting like not doing PE, and the coach would come and be, hey boys, what are you doing? Hey, so we're gambling, like sports betting. And then the coach would come and like, this team are going to, he thinks they're going to win, so do what you will. And he turns around and walks away.
Yeah.
So at all boys' high schools, I suppose there is that side of it. Which is also like getting approval from an adult.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, it's like, your teacher.
It's quite hard to avoid those kinds of things at an all-boys school.
Yeah. And if you could say one thing now to parents listening right now, what would it be? Just from your experience and what is happening right now.
I would say to keep an eye on your kids and just...
How easy is it, though? You know, everyone's saying that, but realistically...
I'm not a parent, I hope. So I wouldn't know. But I think that if you really are involved in your child's life and you... if you really are involved in your child's life and you see changes, if your child is wearing clothes that you didn't buy or... hanging out with people you don't know, you don't know their parents, you don't know these new people, new friend groups, going to places they've never been before, coming home with new shoes or new clothes that are expensive or new things. I think that's quite a...
Yeah, it's a telltale.
If I may just add to this thing. You know, because what you're saying, Enzo, actually sounds like
so cool that I'm thinking of doing it myself. I think therein lies the rub, because initially it's as you say, just a bit of fun. You could go and spend that money and go to a movie. It's going to cost you $150 once the popcorn is added. So what's the harm? And you make a few rand. Hey, my boy, woo! You know, that's life, showing you about life. I think the problem comes in where people actually get to the point where they are driven compulsively to tata my chance, and they don't have the money, and they start to like do things which are extremely questionable, getting into crime in a sense,
yes,
to fund the what is an addiction now. Yeah. And
it does become
because you look, you know, kids will be kids, we're all, you know, and that this the coaches, you can understand, oh guys, having a flutter, like a, it's nothing is a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah.
And with the prevalence of e-gaming now at schools. So what do they call it? E-sport.
E-sports.
Yeah, it's an e-sport.
The whole thing is pretty much sanctioned because now kids are becoming very au fait with the entire digital domain.
Yeah.
So to engage with an activity that gives you a little bit of reward for a little bit of effort, in fact, a lot of reward for a little bit, sometimes, you can understand it's a very appealing thing. We were looking at the results the other day of the combined gambling turnover so far has hit over R1 trillion.
Yeah.
You know how big a trillion is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more money than I can ever comprehend. It is so big, and the majority of the gambling take now is digital online gambling, not the casinos and the horse racing,
yes,
etc.
Yeah, that is.
And the government is now getting very concerned because, well, you know, first they're only getting concerned because they're not making enough money on the tax. If it was a tax deal, I think the government would be saying, "Hip, hip, hooray!" But there's no job creation really in terms of meaningful job creation, like in casinos. You've got jobs, horse racing. Similarly, you've got all sorts of opportunities to create employment. Online, not so much, and it is seen as a massive, massive problem. And clearly, the element of fun is so attractive that I can't see how you're going to overcome the problem.
Yeah, it is. I think, as Enza says, it's awareness, noticing for parents. And you know what? It can become a slippery slope. You know, it starts and some
you see, because
of us
what
have
Rich
that
was saying is, don't let your kids go on the internet. I mean, you know, that's lovely, but not practical.
You have to be.
It's not practical. It's never going to happen.
Were you ever monitored, Enzo? Did your parents ever check what you were on? And did, when you were doing any of your winnings, did your parents pick up? Where did you buy those new fun shoes?
I was never going and buying new clothes and stuff. We were using the money. I mean, our minority,
you're putting it back.
We were using the money to party.
Do you think maybe it would be a more inspired approach to, instead of saying no, and then the kids are going to do it anyway, rather say, let's talk about it and let's look at it. If it's fun and it's got a limit to it, let's maybe even do it together. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like that whole drug scenario. You know, I know of parents, literally, that have said to their kids, you can do anything you like in terms of drugs as long as we do it together.
Yeah.
And you know what? Those kids don't do drugs.
Yeah. Or
who wants to do drugs with your old boy?
I've got friends that have had that exact situation, being caught smoking cigarettes. Their dads made them smoke a pack of cigarettes or said to them, even just, yeah, let's smoke the weed together, and then get really uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
You don't want to do
so
it anymore.
It's no longer cool.
So. Yeah,
but the approach is accept the reality for what it is and manage that. It's not good. Addiction is a nightmare. Don't get into the situation by pretending it's not happening and turning a blind eye,
because
that is
important.
The worst thing to do. Acknowledge there is a real threat, and how does one best prepare for that? Well, talk about it, get involved, understand what it is, and together create boundaries that keeps everyone safe. Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think it's also realistic.
100%.
Hey? Yeah, and Enza, as your takeaway, if you were now a parent looking down at this, how would you manage the situation, just out of interest?
As a parent, if I had a suspicion that my child had a problem with gambling, I think the best way I could deal with it is ask my child why and what benefits he thinks he or she thinks they'll get from the gambling, and then look at it in a way as try and explain that, or make it known that it's fun for the moment, but everything is fun for the moment.
Yeah, that is. Until you get down the slippery slope.
Cause and effect. And maybe maybe it's a very good life lesson to say, clearly you've got a shortcut here to wealth, which gives you all sorts of access to opportunities and the things you really want in life. Isn't there a more sustainable or more productive way of getting there? And then starting to guide and direct along the steps to entrepreneurial excellence, because there's other ways of making money that is going to be beneficial to you rather than detrimental.
And take that creativity and channel it. Yeah. So what Enzo describes, it's the mix of access, competition, and curiosity. It's exactly what addiction counselors and Parliament are warning about now. So online gambling has moved off casinos into classrooms, hiding in plain sight on the devices of our children. And as South Africans debate how to regulate it, one question remains: who takes responsibility? The companies profiting from youth traffic, the regulators that lag behind, or a society that still sees gambling as harmless fun? Because what's happening quietly in our schools today could shape the financial and emotional well-being of our generation of youth. So if you or someone you know needs help or advice, contact ADCA, Against Drugs and Child Abuse. Their website address is www.adca.co.za, and reach out to Rex Hunt, and he's the recovery specialist and coach if you feel that you need help, through the website. And I'm Penny Faree, and thank you to my guest Enzo.
Thank you so much for
having me. This has been Uncensored, and we need to keep this conversation going, because what we overlook today will shape the future of our children going forward.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories, and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV offsite monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.